Hello everyone, it's Tomasz. I hope everyone is doing great. I have just come back from Venice 3 days ago, where I was running a workshop together with Damon Lovegrove. It was an amazing time. The Venice Carnival was underway, and we had combined it with Damon teaching portraiture and lighting, and me, myself, I was taking our workshop group on the streets of Venice and teaching some street photography. I absolutely love street photography. I think it's an unique way of capturing life and participating in everything what's happening all around us. It is challenging, it's entirely different than a controlled studio kind of situation, and it's never predictable. I really enjoy doing it. And so does one of the greatest Fuji X street photographers, Valerie Jardin. I'm sure you have heard about Valerie before, and after coming back from Venice, being myself deeply immersed in a street photography mode, I thought it would be a perfect moment to share with you a conversation with Valerie, which I recorded last year just before Christmas. So, without any further ado, here it comes, and I hope you will enjoy it a lot.
This is Fuji Love, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Your weekly dose of photography inspiration and all possible Fuji X-related goodness. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, Valerie, welcome to Fuji Love. It's really nice having you here.
Nice to be on the show, Tomasz. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks so much. Quite busy at the moment with the site and, you know, everything what's going on around it. Before we dive in into our conversation, let me try something. I don't speak French. I hear a lot of French because actually, you know, I'm living in Switzerland, and one part of Switzerland is actually, it's a French part, right? But let me try something and just don't laugh, okay?
Okay.
Valerie Jardin.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Was it okay?
It's very good.
Okay. It's very, very, very happy to have you on the show. Valerie, so we all know there is like basically hundreds of thousands, you know, of street photographers out there on this planet. How would you say you stand out from this crowd? I mean, what is it deep inside you that keep telling you that, you know, what you are doing is something what unique, you know, personal. It's something what you are supposed to be doing. What is it that drives you?
Well, first of all, I don't try to fit in to any type, because street photography, there's so many ways to approach it. And one way will fit more your personality than another. I'm not in your face, or I like more minimalist approach. But I'll do a little bit of everything. You know, I don't do a lot of street portraits, but I enjoy them. So I pretty much follow my heart and my mood. I don't try to be always doing one way or another. And I think that's often what I see with new street photographers. They're so influenced by other street photographers, and they see what's popular. They try to emulate that so much that they don't necessarily follow what makes them super happy. And I feel like there is a style of photography that fits you. It's not necessarily what you think is street photography. A lot of people are very intimidated by it, and you don't have to be that close to people or right in their face, you know, to be a street photographer. So I think people need to try to follow their heart a little more, and just they're doing it. That's the thing. Street photography is something you do for yourself. You're not selling it you're not working for a client. You may sell some fine art street photography, but that's really not the easiest thing to sell. Cause not a lot of people want to have a portrait of a stranger on their wall. So you have to do it for you and make you happy, and not try to copy other people. So pretty much whatever my mood is. Some days I just want to shoot silhouettes. Other days I want to talk to people. Other days I'll get a little closer and be more in people's space. But it's just the love of people, really.
When you would have to kind of try to, you know, stop for a while and think about it, like when you're out there on the street,
what is it that makes you press this shutter? Is it more like a, you know, combination of light shadows, or is it more the elements on the street, you know, humans with the buildings, what would it be? What do you think? When do you react? When do you press the shutter?
See, it all depends. It all depends. Like on a day where we have really strong shadows, and because street photographers love those harsh shadows, right. You know, and so then you'll probably let the light walk you. You know, it's like you'll go towards that light, and then you'll find a good spot and wait for the right subject to enter your frame. If the light is really dull, then expressions and getting a little closer to people will probably make better pictures that day. So it really all depends on the condition and where you are. I mean, street photography doesn't have to be on the streets. You know, right. You can do it at the beach or in the countryside even. So as long as there are people. And it all depends. I mean, of course, we all look for that light. But really, there is no bad light. So it's, we can shoot all day. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And but generally, your approach is rather staying invisible, right?
Totally. Yeah, I do not provoke eye contact. I mean, it happens, and that's always very special when somebody notices you at the last second, when you're pressing the shutter and there is eye contact. I don't provoke it. If it happens, it happens. I don't go Bruce Gilden style either. I don't get right in people's faces. That's just not me.
Okay.
And I think that's what's important. You should not feel like you have to do it that way if that's not your personality, because not only you probably won't do that good of a job if it doesn't fit you, and you certainly won't look that comfortable anyway. So, I get quite close. I mean, I'm shooting with a 23 millimeter lens. So of course I get quite close. And actually I put a white converter on it, so I get even closer. But people rarely know I'm photographing them, so it's all about respecting and not disturbing the scene. So, but often I stay more at a distance, still with the same lens, but I'll photograph silhouettes or a more minimalist approach, and I like that. I think it's more it's more artsy in a way.
Have you actually experienced any awkward, uncomfortable situations where actually somebody noticed you and kind of, you know, got upset or something like this?
No, I mean, it happens that people notice that you just took their picture and will say, "Did you just take my picture?" And then I said, "Yes, I did. It was such a special moment, such a beautiful slice of life." And then I show them on the back of the camera and I explain to them why I did it. And I think then people are usually okay with it. There's never a confrontation. There should never be a confrontation. That's quite rare. I think to have a confrontation on the street, you almost have to provoke it. If you're not doing anything wrong, then don't act like you're doing anything wrong. And certainly do not be confrontational. People have the right to their privacy as much as you have the right to photograph them on the street. But, you know, you have to look at it that way. Yes, they're in a public place. I have the right to photograph them, but I put myself in their shoes too. Would I like somebody to be photographing me doing this? So I always make sure I don't photograph people in embarrassing situation or vulnerable situation. I'm not after that kind of photography.
I think it also very much depends on where you are actually shooting, which country you're in. And I can tell you, I don't know if you have tried doing street in Switzerland, but this is one of the most problematic places.
Is it?
People don't really, the private sphere is a very important element here. And I have tried it, you know, and I actually am on a regular basis doing my street, but based on people's reactions in Switzerland, it's not the easiest thing. So this would be also a challenge for you. Maybe we could try it once, you know.
Yes, but, on the other hand, people say the same thing about Paris. And, because people are very private and I've never had a problem. I teach students from all over the world who come to Paris to shoot street photography. And well, they have to understand, yes, you cannot be in people. You can't, we mentioned Bruce Gilden, nothing against him. You know, I mean, I admire him for being able to do what he does. And he's really, really good at it.
Right.
But that's not really the type of street photography you're going to do in Paris, for example. So I think you have to adjust to the place where you are. But if you approach people with respect, whether you're in New York or in Paris or in Melbourne, Australia, it's people are people. They react the same way. I've never, you know, people do street portraits in Paris. They don't even speak the language. Right. And they're on my workshops and they get away with some wonderful street portraits where they just, you know, photograph the person. There is even eye contact and they get permission, you know, to photograph a stranger in the street and just nod and smile and move on. And so it's, I think it's about educating people because there are a lot of street photographers that are very pushy and disrespectful. And that's just going to make it harder for everybody else.
Right. There was a story last year. I don't know if you heard about it, if it's true or not, but it was in the news that in Hungary, they were actually about to introduce a law forbidding
Yes, I heard that.
Did they manage to introduce it? I mean, is it really?
I don't know. Actually, I haven't followed. That's a good question. I haven't followed up on that. It doesn't matter. Nothing will ever stop me from doing it anywhere. Anyway, so and I think what we're doing as street photographers, if we do it right, is so important. We are recording life. We are recording a moment in history.
Right.
And I mean, look at if we didn't have all those images from Cartier-Bresson or even more, you know, Vivian Maier
Absolutely.
We just uncovered. Imagine what we would be missing. And today, all we would have is just, you know, selfies of people that would be would have and some footage, surveillance footage. Yeah. How fun would that be? I mean, we need to. That's why I think we need to do it right and do it respectfully so we don't get into those, we don't get into those situations where those laws are popping up all over the place. And they're often also misinterpreted. So, I want to point that out. I talk with street photographers in Paris all the time and because people have concern, they read about the privacy law and what is that? And they're so misinterpreted.
Yeah, I think you nailed it here. The point is that our grandchildren and grandchildren will be able to have a look how Paris
exactly.
looked in 2015, and how New York looked in 2012. This is that's beautiful about it. The street photography.
It is very important. And to me, it's almost like it's a mission. It's something I need to do. And there's so much beauty out there. I'm not out there to photograph the news. I'm photographing beauty in the streets, everyday life. And if you look at, everyday life is beautiful. It's seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary, really. That's what we do as photographers.
Yeah, this is here. I was about to ask you actually, because, when we are out on the street, we see much beauty, as you say, but we see also things which are, sad. And and are you intentionally avoiding this kind of subjects, or are you also including them in your... In your portfolio?
No, I don't avoid them. I just don't, for example, photographing homeless people. That's often a question
right.
that comes to my workshops. And I always, tell my students, it's okay to photograph them as long as you just don't use them as the low-hanging fruit that's easy,
Right.
Then you might as well just go photograph street performers and give them a few dollars and then take your time because they're there for that. Homeless people, I think you need to talk to them. You need to know their story and then do more of a photo essay, not just grab a shot.
Right.
Because then it seems
that's easy.
It's easy. Did you do? And that's also often what I see new street photographers do. Because I mean, it is easier and it is intriguing. It's a world that many of us don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're drawn to that. Maybe I don't know. But I think if I do, and I have, I've talked with some people in those situations in different countries and I've always done it in a certain way that I'll introduce myself, I'll tell them what I'm doing, I'll ask, about their life. People, they're so happy to talk to someone.
Right.
And then I will have more of a story, with establishing shots, medium shots, and then a series of close-up shots. Mm-hmm. So that tie the story together. And and whether I use those, you know, those pictures or not, but I feel like at least I'm documenting and I know their story, I know their name. And if I want to do a blog post about that, it's more of a documentary rather than just a street shot. But people do whatever they want. But I think you just have to be respectful. You can't just grab a shot and just run. And that's just not nice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You are listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Make sure you visit our website at www.fujilove.com for articles, reviews, and more. Thanks so much for being part of the Fuji Love community.
Most of your street photographs are black and white. And it's also the case with most of the street photographers around the globe. What is it? What do you think? What is it that makes you and so many other street photographers actually shoot street in black and white?
Well, to me, it's the subject that's going to dictate that. So sometimes it's all about the color, and without the color, you don't have a story. So those for sure will not be black and white shots. But black and white were for several reasons. I like the timeless quality of it. I tend to see in black and white, although, I mean, life is in color. But and then if you remove the color, your eye will go to the facial expressions, to your subject. So I often show that in presentations where you have the two shots, one in color and the same one in black and white. And the difference is amazing. You remove the colorful street signs or clothing, you know, or plastic bags that people may be carrying, you remove the color, then your eye automatically goes back to the facial expression. So color can be very distracting. But if it's part of the story, you know, it should stay, in my opinion.
But it's all about the conscious choices in you know, when it comes to
And usually it's a decision I'll make before I press the shutter, although I usually shoot raw, but I keep those options. But that's something I think you need to know these things before you press the shutter. So about 90% of the time, I know if my shot will remain in black and white. And I already set my LCD into black and white. So.
Yeah. You are an official Fujifilm ex-photographer. How did this all start? I mean, when did you start shooting Fuji? What did you shoot before? And why are you shooting Fuji today?
I started shooting Fuji, gosh, is it like almost 3 years now, when the X100S came out.
Like most of us, right?
Yeah. It's funny, we were really tempted by the X100. And then I heard people that were not so thrilled about it. It's like, oh, well, maybe I'll just wait a little bit. And I don't jump on the latest and greatest anyways. It's just not me. And then I was actually shooting commercially at the time, and I did that for several years. I was using 5D Mark II, and I had a series of L lenses and great gear. You know, I mean, I was my workhorse. And at the time, I was starting to phase out my commercial photography business, and I was teaching more and more and teaching workshops in Europe, mostly at the time. And so, I didn't see. So and then the X100S came out, and I ordered one, and that was just love at first sight. I mean, I started using it. It was so strange at first, because you know when you use a DSLR for that long, and then you hold something that much smaller, and that was it. Actually, that a week after I received it, I went on a 6-week trip to Iceland and Europe. And I only took that camera. I had actually the bag ready because, you know, going to Iceland with a 23 millimeter lens only was a bit crazy. It was a family trip, so it's not like I was on a photo trip. But still, you know, I had my gear bag ready with my DSLR and my 24-70, my 70-200, you know, all my beautiful glass.
It is 7 kilos of equipment, right?
ready to go. At the last minute, I left it behind, and we left for the airport, and all I carried was my X100S and my tiny little MacBook Air. And that was it. That was the most liberating thing, because I didn't have all that gear. I didn't have all those choices to make. And I think...
No, go on.
Go ahead. I think that's when my photography kind of made a jump.
Yeah. So from day number one, you were happy with the output. I can imagine with the images that were coming out of the camera.
Totally. Yeah. Whether I was shooting JPEG or RAW, or I tried a little bit of both, because I really wanted to see what the, you know, everybody was talking about the JPEG quality out of camera, and it's true. It's wonderful. So yeah,
I'm always, you know, because I have been there myself. I mean, I was shooting Canon, Nikon before, and that's everything is gone. Yeah? And then I'm very often asking actually myself, what made me, you know, what is it about those images, the Fuji files, or what is it about them that actually made me, without even thinking about it, like, you know, immediately I was like, no, that's what I want to have, that's what I want to shoot, and I keep using. How would you define this difference between, like, you know, the character of let's say Canon files and now the Fuji files?
Oh, I don't know. You're going a little techie on me now.
No, it's not. It's about techies. It's about the, you know, exactly. It's not about technology. It's about this, when you look at the file, like on your screen.
The feel, yeah.
The feel. I'm very often trying to figure out myself what it is. And
And then the mood. I love to shoot at night, for example, on the mm-hmm. street. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'll crank up the ISO as high as it wants to go. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. 6400 is no problem. Mm-hmm. And I just love the look of those pictures on Fuji. Right. It mm-hmm. has that film quality mm-hmm. that you don't have, that I didn't have in my Canon. Mm-hmm.
Let's imagine a typical day of Valérie Chartin. Let's say you are getting up early, like now in the morning, and you have this feeling, yeah, I feel like, you know, going out and shooting some street. You take, by the way, what are you shooting these days? Which camera?
X100T. That's the really. I have the XT1 as well.
Okay.
But the X100T is the one that goes with me everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I just recently received the wide conversion mm-hmm. lens, mm-hmm. Which is phenomenal. I never thought I would even want to put anything on in front of that lens, but mm-hmm. it is just amazing. I have the telly. I haven't used it because I'm more of a wide shooter than a telly. So it brings a 23 to what, an 18?
Okay.
I don't know. Then it would be.
We do the math later. Yeah.
Let's
imagine now. So you grab your, you know, you have having your coffee or tea in the morning, and then you feel like, you know, let's go out on the streets you feel like photographing. So you grab your X100T, when going out of the door, what is the camera, if you are so nice and reveal it to our user, what's the camera setup? I mean, like, what's the setting you are going out with? Was the shutter speed, ISO, and aperture? Because you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe, you know, right?
And that's something I'm going to, you know, I love the aperture ring because it's so easy to change.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends what time of the day I'll go out, but I'll start at, I'll usually start an aperture priority. Okay. And I'll go at 5.6 to start, mm-hmm. but I shoot quite open for a street photographer, so I probably won't go any smaller than 5.6 in aperture. I know a lot of street photographers will shoot at f/8 mm-hmm. a lot, but mm-hmm. I that's quite rare for me. And then I'll often let I'll leave it an aperture priority, and then I'll play a lot with I'll leave it on aperture priority, but often, and I will give it like a range. Mm-hmm, like I don't mm-hmm. want to go below 1/25 or.
Okay.
Then I'll give it a range. But if I see that throughout the day, I want to change that, then, you know, the dial is so easy to go back. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to be at 1/60th, or I need to bump it up or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that is the dial that will. Actually, you know, then I'll go into manual, but mm-hmm, that's the dial mm-hmm. that will definitely turn the most during the day, as well as exposure compensation. I play a lot with mm-hmm. that, especially when I shoot silhouette. Because go ahead.
When it comes to photographing people on the street, you know, walking people or running, do you want to have the people, you know, frozen sharp in the frame, or is it not the main priority?
It all depends. It all depends. Sometimes I just want to capture that motion, and I want that motion blur. So that will all depend on the situation. And those are decisions we have to make so fast.
Right.
So that's why it's important to let the camera do a lot of the work. I'm in autofocus. Really quick at locking, recomposing, and with center focus. And And so I think it is important to let the camera do a lot of the work. Street right. photography is not the time to go into full manual and manual mm-hmm. focusing. You're going to miss a lot of the shots.
Yeah, and the great thing with the Fujis is it's so intuitive here with the dials. Yeah. And when
That's
you know when you know the camera is like, you know, let's say swimming in water, so you kind of know what you're doing, right?
I actually like the ISO dial on the X-T1. I think mm-hmm. that's the dial that's missing on the X100T because that extra dial with the ISO makes it so much easier to adjust too. I don't like going into the menu, so.
Yeah, so you almost answered my next question because I was about to ask you if there's any function or setting, you know, you wish Fujifilm would implement in one of their future cameras or with, you know, with what we know they are doing so great with their firmware updates. So you would love the ISO dial of the next iteration of the X100 series.
Yes, that's really the one thing that I like about the X-T1 better is that that left dial for the ISO. Mm-hmm. I mean, then it's all dials. You never have to go into a menu, you know, and that is to me is awesome. I feel like that's what cameras are supposed to be. I'm not into the touch mm-hmm. screen and all that stuff, which you don't have on there anyways, but those are not things that I look for in a camera. For me, it's about accessibility of the dials. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we're so much quicker at turning a button than we are at going into a menu and scrolling down. Yeah, that's annoying. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Great. Valerie, to wrap things up, last question. Is there a photographer, you know, the big master from the past or somebody still, you know, alive and photographing today. Is there someone you're always kind of like even unconsciously looking up to or like kind of, you know, your guru or your.
No, I like to get inspiration, but I kind of like to do my own things. I'm just being me, you know, and I'm doing what I love uh-huh. to do. So I do get inspiration every day just by looking, of course, some of the masters, but some of the amazing photographers out there, some photographers, and I do a lot of research for my podcast. So, you know, I discover some amazing talent out there that have yet to be discovered. So I get inspiration from that, but not so much. I mean, I feel like that's the best part about photography and certainly street photography is that there's always something out there and we're never going to stop learning. Nobody can say they're there. I think in photography in general, and I think that's the beauty of it. So you always want to do better and find, you know, just get that subject that it's about seeing something you haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. And that happens potentially every day.
Right. Love it.
Great. You know, mm-hmm. and that's what keeps you going on the streets, that today there's going to be a new story. There's going to be something new. And I think that's why street photography is so appealing to me. Not only is the challenge, because it is so, so challenging. You have control over so little, but it's also that, there's always going to be a new story. There's always going to be something new and something that no one has ever captured before. No one will after you.
Totally unpredictable, right?
Yeah. And the uniqueness of it too, because as I said, talk about creating your own. You know, when you travel to a place, you start incorporating people in your photographs, your travel photography, which, you know, I do with my workshops. I said, you know, you can photograph the Eiffel Tower. There's no way anybody has photographed it that hasn't been done before. You're not going to come up with something that hasn't been done before. But if you start including people and the right people, then you create your own iconic images wherever you are. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of street photography. And we don't have to get up so early to capture anything without people.
But who knows? Maybe there are some great stories going on, you know, in those early hours.
That's right.
Valerie, thanks so much. You're teaching many workshops. You know, you're photographing most of the time, I can imagine. Where can we send people? Where should people go when they want to find out about what are you up to these days?
Actually, everything is linked on my website as well as the Street Focus podcast, which is at episode 65, I think, now already. So it's a weekly Street Focus podcast. and it's at valeriejardinphotography.com, all in one word. And that's valeriejardinphotography.com.
Great. Thanks so much. And hope to see you one day in Switzerland here, and that we can go.
For sure. Well, I spend enough time in Europe, so.
Okay. Great. Valerie, thanks so much.
Actually, I'll make it back there.
Thanks so much, and I'll catch you next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook Readers Group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.